Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, along with Rita Dunaway. And with the fall elections looming ahead, we're going to address a question that some of you have been asking us. Who should we vote for in November?
Now, wait a minute,
so,
Dean.
Okay.
We're not going to tell people who to vote for.
All right, Rita, I hear you. So here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
We're going to take a wild leap into this political arena. Yes, we are. And after all, this is about faith and culture.
Yes.
Politics is very definitely at the crossroads of both faith and culture. Now, just to allay your concerns here, Miss Rita, we don't have a direct answer to the question of who you should vote for. You feel better?
Thank you. Or even which party.
However, we can at least make some comparisons between the two parties on the basis of the platforms they adopted at their national conventions in July.
Yes.
You okay with that?
We can analyze the platforms,
well,
yes.
Then let's take that as our call for the
okay.
day.
Okay.
Now, this is going to be a very different approach from the ones you usually see and hear from the political pundits in the media.
The platforms tell us what the parties believe.
The heart and
what
soul.
What their goals are. Why aren't we talking about that?
Rita, here we go. We have spent, just for our listeners, just so you know, this isn't something we've done just on a whim. We have spent a lot of time studying these two platforms. And now, to add a little bit more excitement to the program, at the end of our program, we will give each platform a numerical grade for how well it addresses two important categories. The first category is our Judeo-Christian values. The second category is our constitutional principles. Taken together, these two categories serve as the foundation on which America has grown and prospered for over 400 years, on which it must continue to stand.
So what we're doing is we're telling you this is our standard for the platform. Number one, is it true to our moral values as a nation, which come from our Judeo-Christian roots? And number two, are the platforms faithful to the Constitution, to the sort of owner's operating manual that the Constitution lays out for our government? Before we move on, I have to emphasize how important I think it is for people to look and see what is in these platforms. I mean, these are the parties telling us this is what we believe. This is what we think is the job of government, and this is what we would like to do to your country.
And just now, to make it more interesting for our listeners before we go any further, the grade we are going to give each of these platforms are going to be on a scale of 1 to 10 in each of these two categories for a possible score of 20 for each party. Now, this result could be a big surprise for both Rita and me. I don't know what score she's going to come up with. She doesn't know what my score is going to come up with.
I don't know what my score is going to be yet.
Me either. I'm making it up here. But to make it even more interesting for our listeners, you might like to keep your own score along with us and see how close your score comes to ours. Remember, it's a score of 1 to 10 on each of the two categories for each party. So, Rita, let's begin.
I do think what needs to be explained a little bit more is on the topic of our standard.
Okay.
I want people to understand what our standard is that we're using to judge these platforms. So would you comment just briefly some more on what we mean by Judeo-Christian values, which is standard number one?
Thank you, Rita. So, let me get specific on what I mean by Judeo-Christian values in terms of what we're looking for in our platforms. Number one is life, the sanctity of life. Remember, the Declaration has that first, our inalienable right of life. We all know that life begins at conception and continues through natural death. And as I said, the Declaration of Independence refers to it as the first of our inalienable rights. Now, the second value that we're looking for in these platforms is faith. Life, faith, family, and freedom. Number two is faith. which expresses itself in the two great commandments, that we love God with all our hearts and our neighbor as ourselves. Number three value that we're looking for in these platforms is God's design for marriage as between only one man and one woman, and also for the family as the bedrock of a stable society. That's our third value that we're looking for. And finally, we're looking for freedom. That includes particularly the free exercise of our religion, of speech, of the press, of peaceable assembly, and a petition to our government for a redress of grievances. Now, for those of you who may think I just made that up, that is enshrined in the First Amendment to our Constitution in the Bill of Rights. It is the first of our rights as a people, and those rights are not subject to the whims of Congress. So, Rita, here we go. Let's start with life. What does the Republican platform say about life? And I will then follow with what the Democrat platform says about the sanctity of life.
Okay, well, my job is going to be easy because the Republican platform is really clear on these points. And so what I think is most helpful is for me to just quote a couple of things from the Republican platform directly. It says, "We believe the unborn child has a fundamental right to life, support a human life constitutional amendment, and laws which say that 14th Amendment protections also apply to preborn children." It also goes on to say that the Republican Party will oppose the use of federal funds to perform or promote abortion, or for organizations like Planned Parenthood, which is the nation's largest abortion provider. It says, "We will not fund or subsidize health care that includes abortion coverage. We support the appointment of judges who respect the sanctity of innocent human life." And then finally, it even includes a provision where it opposes embryonic stem cell research and federal funding for that.
That's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear. How about the Democratic platform?
Well, it's equally clear. It's pretty simple.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. And as I've already indicated, this is our first human right. Without life, there is no possibility of enjoying the rest of our core values, faith, family, and freedom. Unfortunately, the Democratic platform doesn't seem to see it quite that way. Instead, it has devalued life to a matter of choice. It gives the unborn baby no right to life. None. Instead, it says, and I quote from the platform, "Every woman should have access to safe and legal abortion." In addition, it will oppose and seek to overturn any law that would impede a woman's access to an abortion. It will also oppose all efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, which, as you said, is America's largest abortionist. It goes on to say that it will appoint judges who will protect a woman's right to a safe and legal abortion. And it will ensure that women veterans have access to reproductive health services. Now, we know that is a code word for an abortion.
Yeah.
So here again, the judges have to pass a litmus test.
Yep.
They have to be pro-abortion or they will not be appointed by the representative of the Democratic Party. Finally, it goes on to say, not just in America, but quote, "safe abortion must be included as part of America's global health programming. It would repeal any laws to bar American assistance overseas for providing safe legal abortion throughout the developing world."
Oh,
that is our foreign policy plank. We're going to promote abortion in every country.
We are going to pay for human life to be destroyed in foreign countries.
But you know, Rita, it's a bit ironic in this platform because it goes on to say that it is, and I'm quoting, "it is committed to creating a society where children are safe and can thrive physically, emotionally, educationally, and spiritually."
Once they reach a certain age.
Who decides what that age is? But that's the irony. Now, here's another irony in the platform. It states that, quote, "nature in all its life forms has the right to exist. Well, now, clearly, they don't regard babies as a natural life form with a right of existence. This is incredible.
Yeah, that's really disturbing.
Well, there's a very, very stark contrast in the two platforms on this very important Judeo-Christian value of life. But Rita, let's go on to faith.
For sure.
What does the Republican platform say about this?
Well, you know, I find really just one point in the platform that I think does a good job of summing up this value in the platform, and so I'll just read it. It says, a good understanding of the Bible being indispensable for the development of an educated citizenry, we encourage state legislatures to offer the Bible in a literature curriculum as an elective in America's high schools. And, you know, I want to point out, because I'm sure some listeners might be thinking, oh, well, you can't do that. The Supreme Court says the Bible's not allowed in school. That's absolutely false. The Supreme Court, in fact, has specifically said that it is appropriate for schools to offer study of the Bible in an appropriate context, such as a literature curriculum or maybe a history curriculum. And so I really like that part of the Republican platform on the issue of faith.
Well, it also goes back to our godly heritage. Our founding fathers were raised with the Bible on their desks, raised on the New England Primer that repeats frequently references to biblical scripture.
And Dean, while this is just one, like it seems like a little, one little item addressing this issue of faith, the implication is in that first line where it says a good understanding of the Bible is indispensable for the development of an educated citizenry.
And Rita, with regard to faith, it also makes very clear, and we might get into this later, that it opposes any government discrimination against people of faith who decline to participate in activities that violate their beliefs.
Yes.
So there's a protective clause. Maybe we'll talk about that when we get to the freedom.
We will indeed.
Yeah.
How about the Democratic platform?
Well, my goodness, I have a whole page on this.
Oh, dear.
I may have to put on my Speedos here. All right. I would begin with this by saying that in contrast to the numerous references to God in the Republican platform, in fact, 7 times on one page alone, the Democrats mention God only 3 times in their entire platform, each time with a simple reference to, quote, God-given potential. It's our God-given potential. And it's kind of a reminder of how they tried to purge God from their platform 4 years ago. Curiously, the platform goes on to say that, yes, we believe in lifting up and valuing the good work of people of faith and religious organizations, and we believe in finding ways to support that work. But listen, wherever possible, wherever possible. Now, that suggests to me that it can withdraw its support whenever people of faith and religious organizations refuse to participate in their big government, pro-abortion, and pro-LGBT agendas. They will decide when they will and will not support people and organizations of faith. And curiously, in so doing, it suggests that big government agencies like AmeriCorps, which it refers to as an example of great service, those government agencies are more important than voluntary private faith-based organizations, which, as we indicated, may need to be limited. Now, here's another very, very telling phrase. The platform goes on to say that Democrats will fight for the continued development of sex discrimination law to cover LGBT people, but they will reject the misuse of religion to discriminate against the LGBT. Now, they're already saying that LGBT rights trump religious freedom rights. They don't say it in so many words, but that is the clear implication. It does also provide special protection for the religious practices of indigenous tribal nations, meaning the American Indians, but it does not provide corresponding language to protect the Christian faith community. So, Rita, that's what the Democratic platform says about faith. What does the Republican Party, moving to our third value, what does it say about marriage and the family?
Okay, well, I'm just going to, again, read you a few excerpts. It says, the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Children raised in two-parent households tend to be healthier, more likely to do well in school, less likely to use drugs and alcohol, engage in crime, or become pregnant outside of marriage. Every child deserves a married mom and dad. So we have a big focus there on the family. And it says, we condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in U.S. versus Windsor and its lawless ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, which wrongly removed the ability of Congress and the will of the people to define marriage policy. So I would say the Republican platform cares about the family and about marriage and promotes those values. What does the Democratic platform say about it, Dean?
Well, here we go. This won't take long because the platform, although it devotes an entire section to LGBT rights, including sexual orientation as a protected category along with race and religion, it makes clear that Democrats support same-sex marriage when it says that, quote, "We applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love." But its silence is equally important. It does not recognize or even mention the importance of encouraging marriages that would give every child a loving father and mother. Therefore, it reinforces the perception that it approves of the deconstruction of God's design for one man, one woman marriages and the families that they build together. So, Rita, we're down to our fourth one. What does the Republican Party's platform say about freedom?
Okay, well, again, I'm just going to read you a few excerpts. It says, "We support independent institutions that stand between the citizen and the government and create spaces where the power of government should not intrude." I love that statement. And then it goes on to say, "To protect religious liberty, we will ensure that faith-based institutions do not face discrimination by government. We endorse the First Amendment Defense Act to bar government discrimination against faith-based groups. And we encourage states to resist federal guidelines that would allow men into women's restrooms." And then finally, it says this: "The Constitution gives the federal government no role in education, and we oppose national standards and the Common Core. In its place, we support choice-based, parent-driven, local control of our schools." Dean, how about the Democratic platform?
Not much, Rita. I've already talked about special protections for the indigenous tribal nation. But the only explicit reference to the freedom of religion in the Democratic platform is in the context of protecting religious minorities overseas, such as the horrors of ISIS genocide and the sexual enslavement of Christians and Yazidis. And in that context, it states that we will do everything we can to protect religious minorities and the fundamental rights of freedom of religion. But again, that's overseas. It is totally silent regarding the need for protection of Christian groups and individuals from government-supported LGBT harassment and legal prosecution here in America. So, Rita, we got to move along. Let's wrap this up. I see you're doing some scoring here. How do you score the respective platform positions on Judeo-Christian values? Let's grade each of the party platforms on these values. Again, reminding our listeners, if you're scoring this, we're using a scale of 1 to 10 points for each party, with 10 being the highest. Rita, what do you have?
On Judeo-Christian values, so the Republicans, I'm going to give a 9.
Okay.
I think they do pretty well.
All right.
The Democrats, I will give a 2.
Wow. Pretty close.
Okay. How about you, Dean?
Well, mine is very close. I won't go through the reasons except that I could just say life, faith, family, marriage, and freedom are critical. Mm-hmm. And they are expressed in these platforms. I give the Republicans a 10. I give the Democrats a 1. Okay, Rita, we don't have much time. Let's go to the second category now. This is your specialty. What about the constitutional principles? First of all, what do we mean by this? And why is it so important? What are some of the core principles that we've identified that we need to consider in the platform?
Yeah, well, I have narrowed it down to three. Mm-hmm. And so here we're talking about, are the platforms true to our foundational document, the Constitution, the owner's manual for government? And of course, I think this is extremely important to consider. So the specific values I'm going to be looking for here are limiting the power of government. That is something central to our Constitution. Number two is securing fundamental rights of individuals. And number three is promoting individual liberty and encouraging private enterprise. So I'll go first with number one, limiting the power of government. And I'm going to do the Democrat platform this time. We're going to trade. So I was able to find one point in the Democrat platform on the topic here, and it is this, and I quote, "We will ensure that new spending and tax cuts are offset so that they do not add to the nation's debt over time." So I thought that was the only real... The only real statement I found in the Democratic platform that had to do with limiting the power of government. How about the Republican
platform? Well, the Republicans, again, is just full. I've got seven. I'm just going to say them briefly. On education, the Constitution gives the federal government no role in education, and we oppose Common Core. Instead, we support choice-based, parent-driven, local control of schools. State sovereignty. We reaffirm the 10th Amendment defense of state sovereignty, and we condemn federal assaults on our liberties, including states' voter ID laws, immigration laws, and school bathroom policies. Mm. Number three, the rule of law. We believe in God-given rights, limited government, separation of powers, individual liberty, the rule of law, and we reject unfair preferences and quotas, overregulation, and an activist judiciary. Number four, immigration. We oppose amnesty programs that reward immigration lawbreakers over law keepers. We oppose the executive amnesties of 2012-2014. We oppose federal funding for sanctuary cities that violate federal immigration law. Number five, regulation. We condemn government's EPA actions to overregulate all sectors, including a war on coal, Keystone Pipeline, nuclear industry, and insupportable climate change policies. Number six, on universal health care, Obamacare is invalid, must be repealed and replaced. Number seven, we urge reversal of SCOTUS, that is the Supreme Court, redefinition of marriage, and we oppose government discrimination against those who decline to participate in activities that violate their beliefs. Wow, that's a long list for the Republican Party platform. Rita, the next one, okay. Securing the fundamental rights of the individual.
Yes, so I'll tell you what I think about the Democratic platform on this. And Dean, this is tricky because as an attorney with a background in constitutional law, when I say fundamental rights, I mean fundamental rights in the classic constitutional sense. There's lots of talk about rights in this platform, but the concept and the terminology has been perverted. Let me tell you what I mean. So the first point on this in the Democratic platform, they talk about protecting workers' fundamental rights. But actually, it's all about strengthening unions, and it actually pledges to fight right-to-work laws, which would let workers choose whether to join unions or not. Then there's talk about guaranteeing civil rights, talks about a fight to end discrimination on the basis of race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, age, or disability. That's good. I'm giving it points for that. However, then they insert that they're going to end discrimination on the basis of language, sexual orientation, and gender identity. These are not innate, immutable, or objective characteristics, so I would say they don't belong in the same category.
Sounds to me like you need to subtract a point or two.
That's right. Then there's a talk about fighting to end gender discrimination in education and employment. That's good. But then they talk about passing the Equal Rights Amendment, which is bad because we already have the 14th Amendment with equal protection. And then I have to point out, there's a long discussion about guaranteeing lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights. It says, Democrats applaud last year's decision by the Supreme Court that recognized that LGBT people, like other Americans, have the right to marry the person they love. Well, that's wrong, Dean. There's no right to marry one's mother or an infant or my neighbor's husband. So this is an example of the perversion of the legal concept of fundamental rights.
Okay, for the Republicans, I only have one comment. We uphold the Second Amendment right of individuals to keep and bear arms. Did you find anything about that? Not there. Okay.
Not quite like that.
All right. Well, we're running out of time. The last one is
promoting individual liberty and private enterprise.
All right.
So with the Democratic platform, this is tricky. The whole concept really is tricky because in the founders' view, the role of the federal government was so limited that its role was really more to stay out of the way than to actively promote. But let's do it anyway because the government is so big now that we need to look at whether these platforms tend to promote private enterprise. So here's what I can pull out of the Democratic platform on this. Democrats believe we should not be contracting, outsourcing, or privatizing work that is inherently governmental in nature, including school services. Well, since when is education an inherently governmental function? Then there's talk of fighting right to work laws, raising workers' wages to $15 an hour minimum wage, which isn't the government's job, I would say. Closing the racial wealth gap, working families should not have to pay any tuition to go to public colleges and universities. So my point in bringing up all of these statements from the Democratic platform is that they tend to promote dependency. Yes. They tend to suppress true liberty and to suppress private enterprise. How about the Republican platform?
Well, very briefly, They take the side of freedom, freeing financial markets from oppressive government control, promoting right-to-work laws, ending skewed mandates that to satisfy lending quotas, reduce the debt, and condemn overregulation of the government in all sectors. Well, Rita, we've now reviewed each of the party platforms for their adherence to constitutional principles. It's time to give them a grade on this as well. So as a constitutional attorney, what score do you give to each of the platforms on a scale of 1 to 10 for each one?
I give the Republican platform a 7. I think it should be more aggressive at limiting government. And I give the Democratic platform a 1.
All right. I'm going to give the Republican platform an 8 and the Democrats a 1. So, Rita, now it's time to add the two grades together. One for their adherence to Judeo-Christian values and the other on their adherence to constitutional principles for a total possible score of 20 points for each platform. So, with regard to Judeo-Christian values, Rita gave the Republicans a 9, I gave them a 10 for a total of 19. On the Democratic platform, Rita, you gave them a 2, I gave them a 1 for a total of 3. Now let's go to constitutional principles. Rita, you gave the Republican platform a 7, I gave them an 8 for a total of 15. On the Democratic platform, you gave the Democrats a 1, I gave them a 1 for a total of 2. We add those together, and the total for the Republicans is 34. The total for the Democrats is 5.
Well, we need to wrap it up, Dean, because we're out of time. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website at www.valleyfamilyforum.org and click on the link to Crossroads. I want to thank our sponsors, Blue Ridge Chimney Services and the dental practice of Scott A. Dunaway. Thank you all for your prayers, your encouragement, and your financial support. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation to help keep us on the air, you can do so by check to P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia 22803. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rita Dunaway with Dean Welty and our amazing engineer Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads where faith and culture meet.
Rejoice, 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 rejoice.